today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Well, good day, everyone, everywhere. That's an unusual opening for what should be Cross the Border. And yes, this is in the Cross the Border time slot, but this is not a Cross the Border program. We're having a special program today. And of course, that opening music is from one of my favorites. It's a musical interlude for He is Exalted. And I thought it would be appropriate for several reasons to use that opening, because I put that opening on the program of a brother that I invited to come on to Liberty Radio Live and have a program here, because I thought when I heard him on other programs, I could say I loved the man and I loved the things that he was saying and felt such a kinship to him that I thought having him over here would only exalt our God. So I put that on there. Today, and of course everyone recognizes that Eric John Phelps is the man I'm speaking about. And he is here with us today. And I thought I would have him on. And I also have on the line with me Greg Szymanski and Tom Fress. So we're all going to be discussing whatever issues the Lord leads us into. One reason I wanted to do this is because, I don't like the clandestine goings-ons of some of the other networks that have, alternative media networks where things happen behind the scenes and everything's hidden and all you have left is rumors. So this'll stop any rumors right here. Already rumors are getting around. I had someone call me last night and spend a half hour chastising, haranguing me about Mr. Phelps' exit last night on his program. Anyway, we're here to talk about all these matters. For me, being the head here and having the responsibility of the programming and what can be allowed and what is not allowed on the network is a burden, but it's my burden, and I gladly bear it, because that's the calling that my Heavenly Father has called me to. And sometimes I have to make decisions that I don't want to make, and I believe that I've come to it. Basically, my only contention with Eric is over one thing. And to start out, I'd like to put a question to each man individually and to everyone listening in the audience out there. And speaking to any audience that we may have for this program, I perhaps will take calls in the second hour. But I want to give Eric spend most of the time in the first hour with Eric and between myself and Eric and the other hosts and Eric. My contention is over the term white supremacy. I live in a culture where I believe that white supremacy means one thing to more than 99% of the people. Paul said that when I'm in Rome, I become as a Roman. Wherever I am, I become as one of those people that I may win them. Now, however, if I go in and I start speaking one way and everyone understands me another way, then I'm not communicating to that culture very well. Regardless of the reasons, whether it's right or wrong, I have to accept the definitions of a culture when I speak to them, when I go into that culture to present them the gospel, the truth, whatever message it is exposing our common enemy. I need to speak the language of that culture and relate to that culture on their cultural level. And when I hear the word white supremacy, coming from anyone, it means the same thing to me as it means to not more than 99% of the culture that I'm in. Now, I understand historically, and to some men, they have another definition that it does not match up with the cultural definition of that phrase. Perhaps, I believe, I'm not quite convinced of that, but I know there are historical definitions out there and private definitions to any words. And so that's where I stand. And to me, the cultural definition, which will be understood by 99% of the people, white supremacy, of course, white obviously referring to the color of the skin or the Caucasian race, however you want to put it. But basically, it gets down to the color of the skin. And couple that with supremacy, and it to me, can only have one meaning that will be accepted culturally by 99% of the people. Now, if I believe the meaning, the definition of something is wrong in the culture, I don't believe that I'm big enough to change it. Another thing is, we here at the alternative to the alternative media, we have a hard enough time being accepted even in the alternative media because of our stand against the Vatican and against Catholicism. We are already labeled by those who control the alternative media and the mainstream media as hate criminals, as propagating hate speech because of that stand. So we're already, and I don't mind taking a stand if I believe in it, if I believe it is true for the gospel, if I believe that it is the calling of God for us to take that stand. I take that stand no matter what the cost, and I have taken that stand, and I continue to take that stand. But I cannot take the stand for white supremacy because it is culturally ineffective for the message and the mission of the First Amendment Rights Media Group, for me personally, and for several of the men on the broadcast. So I'm going to go to my fellows here at the round table, Eric, and I believe everyone can hear me on the board there, right?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
And
yeah, I can.
Okay, we got a yay from everybody. Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I guess I'm going to just start with, I'll start by asking Greg, what does white supremacy mean to you, Greg?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, when I hear the word, it means exactly this, that I am better than any other race. I'm a white man, and that I am better than a black man, I am better than a red man, a yellow man, any other color of skin, and it boils down to that, to me. It really is that issue.
Okay. I want to add one other thing. Now, what if I proclaim white supremacy and at the same time use the phrase, the lower black cultures?
Well, that would only tell me that, you know, my black friends aren't as intelligent as me. I have a higher place in the world of God than him. To me, it creates a division, and basically, in the end, creates some kind of hatred. That's my feeling about it.
Okay.
Very simple, without getting into anything regarding my friendship with Eric, things that we've talked about in the past. I didn't want to pollute that conversation.
Well, you know, this isn't about friendship, because I've already said I love all of you, all these men here, and that's why that I've invited them all on here. And I believe that my fondness for all of you over time has only grown because of the words of your mouth and the testimony of your mouth. So I'm going to move to Tom, and I'm going to say, Tom, the same question. What do you hear when you hear the term white supremacy and then couple it with the lower black culture, that phrase? What do you hear? How do you feel about that? And how do you think the culture out there, 99% of the people, feel about that?
Well, I'm a product of the cultural
definition of white supremacy, and it's a race-baiting term. And it's an anger and hatred-generating term generally accepted by people who hear it as offensive. And I can't make myself redefine the term. And when it's coupled with the another term, the lower black races...
Lower black cultures.
Lower black cultures, it only increases the negative connotation of white supremacy in my mind. And those are the definitions that I've been culturally instilled with. And a redefining of those terms is almost hopeless.
Yeah, I would say ineffective. Will be ineffective, being that, as I expressed already, that we are already marginalized because of our stance against, that Antichrist system over there, the Vatican.
Right.
We're already marginalized. We don't need to be marginalized unnecessarily further than that. And now, one more question, and then I'm going to let everyone have their turn to speak at free will, is... And this is a question for everyone, too, and I don't want to leave Greg out there. Greg, I'll just say a yes or no. Do you believe that the proclamation of white supremacy hurts the gospel or is a help to the gospel?
Definitely hurts the gospel.
Tom?
White supremacy is not spoken of in the scripture.
Okay. Now I go to Greg, and I would like some clear answers to the same questions that I asked those gentlemen, and then I'll give Eric a little free rein to add whatever he wants after he answers those questions directly. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, the question then, Nicholas, is...
Having to do with the cultural definition of white supremacy.
Well, the first thing I think of a white supremacy, I think of a Nazi and a KKK.
Okay. Do you think that 99% of the people would hold to that same feeling and that's what they would feel when they hear the term?
That's correct.
Okay.
And because of the press that we've had for the last 50 years, yeah, the term has been redefined.
Okay. So it is the cultural definition, though, is it not? It is the accepted culture.
I would say yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about coupling that in the culture with the term lower black cultures?
Lower black and Latino culture, yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Is that detrimental, you're asking?
Yes. Do you think that's detrimental to our cause and to sharing the message that we have to share with even those people, and especially those people, but not to mention all of the white people that are that hear these terms and are repulsed by them?
Yes, on the face, I would agree with that, apart from an added explanation. And that's why I seek to explain those terms and those phrases, so that people will understand what I mean.
Okay, and I want to ask you a question. To me, it seems, without a doubt, that people will not even hear the explanations once they hear those terms, culturally defined. That they will not stick around. Most people, and I would say 90%, probably more than 90% of the people, will not care about your redefinition. It's a redefinition to them because we're talking about a cultural definition, and they'll be gone. And that's the whole point. Is that's why I say it's detrimental to our cause here, our common cause, all of us men working, and our labor being here through this venue. Can you see that, Eric?
Yes, I can. Apart from an explanation that I try to give. See, to me, the understanding of freedom of speech means we have an open forum to publicly declare what we believe to be true. And then we ask for all takers to attack us if they disagree with us, that we might further give an explanation. Because that, to me, is progress. I take, for example, the degeneration of our culture in the use of the word gay. I say I'm gay. I'm a happy guy. What gives the homosexuals the right to take that term and make it their own? Nothing. It's the same term with white racial cultural Caucasian supremacy. That used to be defined in the 19th century based strictly upon a racial issue of the cultures and the civilizations that the white race has created. It meant nothing about hating the black man or hating the Latino or hating the Asian or to use it as a beating stick on the head of anybody that was not a white man. And for example, I would just quote here on page 55 of Race and Reason, written by Carlton Putnam in 1961 when he was the president of Delta Airlines. Just for a second, you are preaching a doctrine of white supremacy and allying yourself with lynchers and bombers. Worse, don't you realize that this is the doctrine that led to Hitler's barbaric policies? The answer of Mr. Putnam: I am advocating a doctrine of white leadership based on proved achievement, not supremacy in any sense of domination, exploitation, or violence. As far as the Negro race is concerned, and that's his word that he uses, I don't like to use the word Negro, I always use black. As far as the Negro race is concerned, if it is interested in such cultural elements as our white civilization has to offer, it should realize that to destroy or to debilitate the white race would be to kill the goose that lays the golden egg. It is a temptation as old as the human species and always ends with the dead goose and no eggs. And so my point is that absolutely, like Mr. Putnam believed, I believe that the white culture is superior to other cultures. It can be proven historically over the last at least 500 years. But it's not to be used as a means to oppress or beat down anybody. And I think I've made this clear on my broadcast. I've had Brother James Silva on my broadcast. He's a Latino. He knows the Lord. He would love to have his own Latino nation somewhere in North America or even in Mexico with no white men in it. And I completely back him. I met another black gentleman in South Carolina.
Okay, but see, that separatism is not the issue. I believe that people should be free to separate. Voluntary separation is not a problem for me.
Okay.
And it's not the issue here. The only issue is the use of the term in this culture of white supremacy is not expedient for the gospel. As a matter of fact, it is detrimental. Redefine it 100,000 times. Those who like what you're saying, who want to use that term, will usually go over to the hateful racism side of the issue. Those who don't like the term will usually not want to be associated with you because of the cultural definition. My whole point is this: it is not expedient for the gospel. Paul said, all things are lawful for me. And, of course, he did not mean that anything. He was referring to what was lawful according to the law of God, that he could do everything that was lawful. But everything that he was allowed to do was not expedient for the gospel. I believe that this is one of those issues. The attempt to redefine white supremacy, the use of it, and especially coupled with calling the other black lower races or lower cultures, can only bring about feelings of rage, contempt on the parts of those other races if you call them lower. They may be lower, they may not be. I know a lot of white people that I would have a harder time being around than some black people I know. I don't believe personally that anyone can be superior by virtue of their race, by virtue of the color of their skin, by any of those things. That God has used a certain people's, be it Caucasian or otherwise, at different times in history, is not attributable to their race or to their color. It's attributable to the fact that God chose to use those people at that time. And to proclaim a supremacy by that race or by the color, by virtue of their color or their race, is to rob God of His glory. That is my feelings on it, and that's why I have brought about the ultimatum that I brought about, because we need to separate this issue and this term from the work we're doing, because it is detrimental to the work that we're trying to do. We're already at a disadvantage because we are taking a stand for Christ against the Antichrist Vatican out there. We are already marginalized because they control the major media and they control the alternative media. It's difficult enough without adding something. And I might say it is actually my feelings that that the Jesuits are very happy that you have chosen to fly the banner of white supremacism, because if, as you say, and they've redefined the term to mean something that it doesn't mean, well, they've done their job, and you've walked right into their trap. And I believe it makes them very happy. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I could say something, Nicholas. First of all, I'm really disappointed that it's come to this, and for reasons that I know Eric is smarter than this. I know Eric personally. I think there's no one that's had him on my show more than me. In fact, I think Eric's been with the station almost 2 years, and I'll be the first to say I didn't listen to many of Eric's broadcasts from the beginning because I figured I heard everything. We talked so much. And when Eric was on my show and he brought up this issue, I'd get emails, how can you associate with this kind of view, this kind of white supremacist view? And I kind of tippy-toe around it because I knew Eric gave so much, and I was hoping. So basically, when this issue came up on the station, which was starting to alienate people, and myself getting emails from women who say, "What, you know what he's saying?" And I said, "Well, I really don't." So I tuned into a few shows, and I was shocked. I go, "What? That's not the Eric that I know." And it almost sounded as if it was like a KKK leader mixed in with a Catholic Bishop Fulton Sheen trying to justify it with some crazy Bible interpretations. Now, whether it's, you know, whether you interpret the Bible one way or another, it confuses people. And it really confused the simple issue in my mind, is that we're all created equal. And I don't want to have to read a couple things that a woman sent to me about your view on women. And when I read that, I said, my God, I need to confront Eric privately with this first, and I don't even want to read it. But that's why I'm disillusioned. And I'm not disillusioned about all the other things you've given and all the things we've talked about. I just don't know why, and maybe I could just ask you directly. You want to pursue this so much because it's become the fulcrum, the major point of your show, when it's dividing so many. And I'm getting more and more emails on this. Why do you want to do that when there's so much other good to give? It's a mess. It's the way you say it sometimes, Eric. It is dividing us. Can't you see that? That's to you.
Okay. I don't want to be detrimental to the preaching of the gospel. And I don't want to be to make you a butt of the attack, as well as Tom, as well as you. And I don't want to use a term that if the American people are so imbibed by that term that they cannot objectively hear its historical definition, then I don't want to use the term. So therefore, I don't want to also at the same time abandon the historical fact or facts that God chose to use a white language to put the record of his son in. I don't want to abandon the historical fact that God chose to bring his son at the time of an empire, evil though it was, pagan though it was, that was able, by the virtue of its roads, all throughout the Roman Empire, to get the gospel to the ends of the earth in the first century. I don't want to negate the fact that for the last 500 years, that the most evil men in history have been racially white. And I don't want to negate the fact that the best men in history, in terms of getting the gospel to the ends of the earth, in terms of translating the Bible in historical, in many, many different languages, these men have been white. So therefore, what we have is we have a Caucasian domination in the sphere of evil. And every pope is white. Every black pope is white. Every high Freemason is white. The head of the Freemasons now in Washington, D.C. is white. And I was first confronted with this by a black man. He talked about the white power structure, and it offended me till I realized it was the Pope's white power structure.
Okay, so, I'm going to have to interrupt there. We'll pick up after the break. Okay. And I want you to answer this question when we come back, Eric. And that is, one, I don't believe that anyone's asking you to abandon the facts of history. But what I need to understand is why it has to be a focal point to almost the absurd height of fanaticism. And that's the way it seems to most people, and that's the way most people see it. Okay, we'll be back after some messages. You're listening to a special edition of Cross the Border.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lake streams and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier today by calling First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. Or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Welcome back. You're listening. Let me see. Is my mic? Yes, I'm on. You're listening to a special edition of Cross the Border. We're having a roundtable today. Myself, Eric John Phelps, Tom Fress, and Greg Szymanski are with me. I'm going to start out to carry on the vein of thought that we left in with a biblical view of history, and I'll get this biblical view, I believe, from something that we can all agree upon, because I don't want to further our issue here. The fact that we have from Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of an image, and when it got down to the legs and thighs of iron, we're talking about Roman, Greco, or Caucasian culture becoming dominant in the world. and we see that it goes to the feet and the toes of iron mixed with clay, which extends out until Christ comes. So we see the dominance of the Roman, Greco, white, Caucasian culture in the world. My view of this is that this is ordained by God. God chose this culture to be dominant when His Son came onto the scene, and He chose this culture to dominate the world, broken though it may be from the time that the Roman Empire fell to become the clay mingled with iron till the Christ to time Christ comes. This was God's doing. This was His, by His authority, this was His choosing. It was not by virtue of the people. He is the sovereign. The culture is not the sovereign. The fact that they were Caucasians, the color of their skin, their breeding, and all of those things that can be used to divide us are not why these people became dominant. They became dominant because this is what God chose to use to judge people in these end times, and I'm speaking of the times from Christ until He returns again, from the time that He was here till the time He returns again, these end times. This is what He's chosen to use to judge people on this earth and to draw people out of all nations to be a peculiar people for Him. Now, Erica, that's really what I have to say to your focus on white Caucasian culture being supreme. I do not believe that anyone can be supreme in anything by virtue of their own pedigree. And even Jesus said, He says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we cannot attribute to flesh and blood any good thing. Another scripture says that all good things come from God. So can we really attribute any good thing to any culture or any group of people, Caucasian or otherwise, without first attributing it to God Almighty? I turn back to you, Eric. Go ahead.
I would agree with you completely. All good things are of the Lord. And therefore, any good that's done through any man is a work of the Lord.
Okay, can I ask you a question here? Okay, to raise up one culture as superior over others and keeping that in mind that all good things come from God, isn't that to rob God of His glory?
Oh, no, because you see, within the ability of specifically the white Caucasian people of the Greco-Roman era, and as is reflected throughout the last two millennium, we have excelled in engineering. The language that he recorded the coming of his son in was the most definitive language ever written, Koine Greek, a white language. And so we have to realize that there are certain abilities that the Caucasians have that God chose to use them for that reason, that he'd instilled in them. And it's not, and as I've always said, it's nothing for me to boast. It's not for me to brag that I have this and you don't have that, because I'm not a very smart white man. I got a lot of Irish in me.
Okay, but Eric, don't you understand that every time you declare white supremacy, that it is taken by 99% of the people as boasting, and that they will never hear it any other way?
Well, is that fair?
Whether it's fair it's reality.
Okay, I understand that. So, but my point is, in this dialogue, that I am raising the question, is it fair? Is it fair to presume that I am a certain way without listening to me and what I have to say and defining my terms and then furthering that? Is that fair to me? Is it fair to your radio station? First Amendment radio station, Liberty Radio Live, is a place where there will be ideas interjected in the culture that people might reconsider and then maybe go on another track of life. If we continue to use the same terms and we're afraid to go into other areas for fear of rejection, then nothing will ever change, possibly for the better, in that area. Now, I understand your concern about the term white supremacy, so I would be willing to say this. Give me a term that I can use to say that indeed the white race has produced the highest cultures in the last 2,000 years without there being any equating to a hateful, condescending, paternal supremacy as a justification to persecute other races, and I'll use the term.
Well, I think I just did it perfectly and clearly in citing the scripture and saying that God's sovereign choice to rule from the time of his son to serve his purpose to the end was to choose the Roman Greco governing principles and society and culture to rule in the world until that time. Not saying that they're better because they're wicked people. But it wouldn't matter what color or what breeding of people he used, it would have had the same effect to fulfill his purpose. That he chose one does not make them supreme.
Did the Africans at this time, when the gospel went to the Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, why wasn't the gospel spread all throughout Africa, and there were black missionaries sent into the North America, and black missionaries sent into Europe, and black missionaries sent into China? Why not? God, there was something in the white race where he chose their abilities for advancement, their determination, because I've read several histories that the Saxons are the most determined resistors of political tyranny.
Okay, see,
Earth.
Now you're saying there was something in the white race, and so now you're attributing something to the white race that God just had to use. And, you know, I'd like to give these other men a chance to jump in here. Tom?
Well, I'm immediately struck by the example of Joseph. You know, the coat of many colors, and the dream that he had, that the sheaves of all of his elder brothers bowed to his sheaf. And what'd they do to him? They buried him in a pit and sold him as a slave. And I don't know if you can understand the analogy. I think this white supremacy is basically doing what Joseph did, provoking the hatred of his brothers. And I'm sorry, Eric. I'm one of your most careful listeners, and I've called you, and we've talked about these issues over the phone, that I carefully listen to you, and I try not to be prejudiced with the cultural definition of white supremacy, and I try to hear your message the way you give it. And look at what you say objectively, without all the subjective feelings that instantly come to the surface when one hears the term white supremacy. So I've been about as patient and studious as I could possibly be, time permitting. But let's face it, Eric. The general population, the general numbers of listeners on Liberty Radio Live may not be as careful in the way they listen. They may not be as patient to carefully examine objectively the things that you say. And they're instantly outraged with this white supremacist terminology. And they turn off the entire network. And I think what Nicholas is trying to say, this is about survival. Do we flaunt if God indeed did give the white man privilege and blessing not enjoyed by the other races and cultures of the world? Do we become like Joseph and flaunt that by even mentioning it? Joseph didn't make a big deal about it. He just told of his dream, and it infuriated his brothers, and they threw him in a well and sold him into slavery. I think Nicholas is right. We've got too much to chew as it is. Our plate is full just trying to educate our listeners about the Vatican Jesuit-led New World Order instead of throwing on top of that. I mean, this racial thing, to me, at least from the eyes of what I've received, the information that I've received from my listeners, the complaints that, look, I've gotten the same complaints that Greg has. And I felt a responsibility to my listeners to call you and plead with you about this. Look, it seems to me that throwing this racial issue on top of everything that's on our plate now is like trying to climb Mount Everest with an aircraft carrier on our backs. And Look, I've lost a lot of friends because I've been associated with you. I love you and I trust you. And I highly value the information that you've given me. No one has improved my understanding more than you have. But I'm like Greg. When I first heard your program, this isn't Eric. Who is this? And I know you have an insight, and I know you need to share it. You're committed to it, and I would not for a moment take away your First Amendment right. Neither would I question your allegiance to Christ and your dedication to Christ. But I do question the method. Look, we are facing a Holocaust in this country. The Pope wouldn't care if there was, after the dust cleared, there was one man left alive in this country. The Bible literally says that if he didn't shorten the days, no flesh would be saved. And I'm just now coming to the full realization of what the Vatican is capable of doing in this country, both to Protestants and Catholics. Because in the Pope's eyes, Catholics are nothing but liberals. They've been Protestantized. They've lived all their lives under a Protestant Constitution and Bill of Rights. They are of no use to the Vatican, except to be a part of a slaughter. And that's what the Pope wants for this country. He wants to foment religious war, racial war, economic war, every kind of war, so that his enemies defeat themselves in their own land and he doesn't have to even raise a finger. And what I see, the perception that the listeners have when they listen to Eric John Phelps, is he's fomenting this race war. He's helping the Jesuits. And that's how it's perceived, Eric. I love you, brother. You cannot question that. My expression of my respect for you is contained in every email I write. Every statement I make, I recommend Eric John Phelps. But I've had people run from me because I'm associated with Eric John Phelps, this white supremacist. They're not perceiving you, Eric, the way you wish them to perceive you. And it affects the bottom line to the point where how much can we shoulder? When will reason take over? And I don't want to dominate. I've said enough. I'll just listen.
Okay, well, I wanted to add something. But I'm going to go ahead and give Eric a chance to say a few words in response to Tom.
I understand, and I agree with you. My question is, maybe we just have to agree that the audience is not able to handle this subject.
I think that's
and
it.
And then I won't deal with it.
Okay, well, then if the, that's... Since, that's but, go ahead.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
Since we have to agree that the audience can't handle this topic, then it'll be public that we don't believe they're capable of dealing with this topic as I am seeking to present it, and I won't deal with it anymore. However, I will say this, that as I've said on my broadcast, I am directing much of what I say to white people, because I am blaming the white people of this country for its demise and its destruction. The blacks are not responsible. Latinos are not responsible. It's white people that are apathetic and that are sitting back and allowing the Pope's white power structure in this country to wreck this country. So how can I give a message to white people that are listening that is primarily your responsibility to do something about it?
Okay.
Do we agree on?
Well, yeah, what you're saying is fine, Eric, but the problem is the minute you open your mouth and say white supremacy, most of our audience is already white, and if that term drives more than 90% of them away automatically, then you're defeating yourself by using it. Now, the fact is, and I'm going to be totally honest here, I don't want Eric John Phelps to leave First Amendment Rights Media.
I don't either.
That's not my desire. My desire is to change his focus. And that's what I'm asking you to do, is the focus, I think, is wrong. I think your focus as on white supremacy and issues of race, I believe, is wrong, and it is detrimental to our cause. The fact is, if we have one in 10,000 blacks listening, that is about the state of our racial mix in this audience. So you already have the white audience, and you need to speak to them, because I agree with you. I am ashamed of the people of my color, of the Caucasian race, because they've allowed the Pope to come in and give them benefits and tempt them. You know, they've fallen to...
We're eating from the king's table.
That's right. And we're taking his benefits and falling right into what he wants us to fall into. We're falling for the covetousness. It's about covetousness. It has nothing to do with race.
We're all slaves.
Yeah.
We're all slaves in this country. We're all black to the Pope.
So taking the focus and putting it on race, or what this culture is supreme over that culture, all of those things are just kicking out more than 95% of the people that you say you want to reach that are already there. Go ahead, Greg.
Little thing here. That thing you said, Eric, about let's just admit that the people can't handle this and go on, I can't subscribe to. I think people can handle this subject dealt properly. And I think any time that you mix this kind of hatred message, and that's the way it comes across, you can't just wipe it away by saying, you people are too stupid to understand it. That's like saying, I'm too stupid to understand, Eric, and, you know, let's just not talk about it. I don't agree with that. I agree that, you know, you said some things on your show that shocked me, you know, and you said it on my show a couple times, and I tried to talk around it a little bit, and I tried to, you know, look at the many, many good things you do, but we never get over this issue. And for you to make it a focal point of your show makes me wonder, why the heck you think it's so important? I mean, it's dividing people. We got so many other things to do. I think we can all come to the scriptures. You know, we can come to the scriptures in many ways. And I still believe a child of God can be on an island and never read the Bible and go up there and be close to the child of God. There's certain feelings that come across. There's certain things that you hear, that you see, that you know just ain't right. And this just ain't right to me. And I know you're smarter than that. I said it earlier. And for you to make it a focal point, and for you to create this kind of controversy, to me, is just defeating everything. Hey, we create enough controversy with the other things that we're doing. But for this issue, you know, I got a friend named Sid Catlett. He played basketball for Notre Dame University. And the man really wants to get to the bottom of the New World Order. And I had him on my show a couple times. And he was a professional basketball player. And he wrote me. He's a black man. He said, do you really believe this guy? What are you doing? You know? And so what I'm getting at is this. You know, I wish you would just realize the damage that's being done here and not try to just say, hey, you're too stupid, Greg, to understand it, so let's just go on because I know so much. And any time any man subscribes to any man's views, you know, and will not listen to anybody else, there's something wrong. And, you know, it's an arrogant display. And I've had people call me and say, you know, I know Eric John, he comes across arrogant. He comes across as this know-it-all. And I know you. And you, when you take the broadcast microphone, need to show a little bit more humility. Because that's who you are. And when you're on other people's show, you do that.
That's right.
That's absolutely
I can't understand
correct. Why
you do it, why you come across this way, because I've got to listen to people tell me that. And you're associated with me. I'm associated with you. And I want you to understand that I don't want you off the air. I don't want you to speak for the rest of your life. I'd love to have you on. I say it all the time. But I cannot continue to subscribe to that, Eric. And it's too much of a division. And I really hope you take those words and listen to what I said. And I'd like to hear what your response is.
Well, I would be willing to leave out the term white supremacy and lower Latino and Oriental cultures and black cultures. I would be willing to do that. I would be willing to make that concession. But I still must be able to be pointed to the whites. And I also still must be able to advocate the doctrine of racial separation. And the reason I say this is because the Jesuits have forced miscegenation in this country through their civil rights movement, beginning with Jesuit John Lafarge, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about this before. For the purpose of destroying the white culture, not only of this country, but in Canada. Because during the reign of Jesuit Trudeau, he started bringing in the blacks in Toronto. Can I finish my point?
We all understand your point, and we all agree with your point. Okay?
Okay, so I can continue to
We have listened, yes, and we've heard it. And I am in agreement with you, and I'm going to tell you how I'm in agreement with you upon separation. I believe that according to the law of God, which says that children obey your mother and father, that if a parent doesn't want his children to marry into another race, that he needs to teach them obedience, and that they will live up to follow his desire and be obedient to the parent. Racial separation cannot be a forced issue, but when you talk about separating people, it's going to come down to force. That's my personal feeling. However, what I'm asking of you, Eric, and I just want to clarify what I am asking of you, is let me clarify that with this. When you came onto this network as a guest on other people's programs, you conducted yourself in such a way that I thought, here is a humble man. Here is a man of humility. And here is a man of much knowledge, and he has worked hard to gain the knowledge that he has to share with these people. You conducted yourself in that way on these programs. And and that's what drew me to you and prompted me to offer you a broadcast of your own. And what I'm asking you to do is to conduct yourself in that same way as if you're on somebody else's broadcast. Because the fact is, when you're on Liberty Radio Live, you are on all of our broadcasts. Because you affect all of our broadcasts. You affect all of our audience. We are all associated with you. And that's why I have to, like I said, I have to bring forth an ultimatum. I have to do things, whether I like it or not, whether they're comfortable or not, because this is the position that God has put me in. And that's why we're here today, because I have to be obedient. And this is a point of obedience for me to bring this about and to bring this to the forefront with this ultimatum. And then it's up to you. And that all of these brothers, we're not doing anything under a bushel here. There's no intrigue behind the scenes. We all want you to stay. We don't want you to go, but the focus has to change. You can practice whatever you want in your own life, but on this broadcast, on this network, the focus cannot be on race and on supremacy of the race or culture. And with that, we're going to come into another hour here. If all these gentlemen want to stick around, I would like them to. Or if they need to leave, that's fine, too. Is everybody going to stay here?
Yeah, we'll stick around.
Okay, well then we'll be back after the news, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
I love to sing your praises. I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life.